Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Let me read it to you. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child would understand me today. It's always my prayer. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us, but you look at me differently today because I'm a teacher of your word. So within you, looking at me is a greater, a more strict judgment on my life. I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Evidence from the early service afterwards, conversations with people. We do series here, you know that. And times we preach through a book, we do that. But I've left a little bit of gap in between the series, and I feel like today, and I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't move me in the other sermons as well, but I just feel like a time to encourage you for a moment on how the Lord encourages you. A lot of things going on throughout the world. There's just from shootings and bombings and unrest, and even in our nation, there are some things happening that I personally support, and then the sanctity of life issues, and then the reaction that's coming from that. As things are happening in other states, and you're going, man, just the argument, the reaction about it. I want to remind you of something. Today, my encouragement to you is, we're going to use a very specific verse here in a moment, but let your light shine, okay? Let your light shine for the Lord. Don't be afraid. Let me remind you this. Don't get caught up into the world is going to love me because I love Jesus, right? What's the truth? The truth is the world is going to hate us. Jesus says that. So don't get into this idea, yeah, but I'm going to be the one who's going to win the world over. Jesus didn't say, cheer up, you have overcome the world. He said, cheer up because he has overcome the world. All right? So don't get to thinking that, oh, yeah, I can get this going on. This is the world will hate us. The world will persecute us because of our message of the name of Jesus and the hope that is in Christ. So we'll get to thinking that it's a popularity contest. If you're in a popularity contest, go be in a beauty pageant. You know, go do that. Don't. Christianity's not about a popularity contest. And so the more we bring light to darkness, darkness does flee, but it doesn't mean it's going to flee without a shout, okay? So we've got to understand that. We've got to know that. Don't get caught up into the world's going to love me. The world is never going to love you. It's never going to happen. So get out of that mind thought. Get out of that framework. But I'm encouraging you, let your light shine. Speak the name of Jesus. Keep on keeping on. Remember that. Hang in there. Don't lose heart. The verse we just read is going to say, don't give up. Scripture tells us don't give up because there's a harvest. We're going to reap. There's a harvest going on. Please pay attention to that today. I want to encourage you with that. Here's where we get into the light, the letting your light shine. 2 Corinthians 4, 5, and 6. We're still in the same chapter 4. For we are not proclaiming ourselves. Don't follow people who brand themselves, okay? Be careful of that. We're not projecting us. We're projecting him. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. And if we do project ourselves, what do we look like? Well, we're the servants. We're the servants. I'm not going to live life so that I'm superior to Chase over there. And you can tell him that I'm picking on him. I've got to serve Chase. I've got to serve him. It's not that I get above him. So don't get into these spiritual struts, okay, of God loves me more. God's blessed me more. We're here to serve people. If we do proclaim ourselves, what does that look like? It looks like I'm a servant or I'm a slave because of Christ. I serve people, not about people serving me. Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Christ. And I want to just today, my encouragement to you is keep bringing in the name of Christ. Keep bringing light to darkness. It's going to seem offensive to darkness. But hang in there. Don't give up. You hearing me? I want to encourage you. But I'm going to show you today in Scripture how he does that. And I hope in a very practical way. The first person you have to look at is ourselves. Let's look at verse 16. It says, therefore we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. The old gray mule, he ain't what he used to be, right? When we look at the outer self, we're tearing down. Total confessional. For those of you who do not know the life of Hope Church, we were mobile for 8.5 years. And when I say mobile, how many of you all remember the days 21 years ago? You remember the mobility of this church. We rented 30 facilities a year. Our rental expense was over $200,000 a year. You had to figure out, we rented abandoned grocery stores, the ballrooms at the Holiday Inn, the Civic Center, the middle school, Saffle Street, the fairgrounds. We had our own baptistry. It was called Lawrenceburg City Swimming Pool, if you remember that. And we unloaded and put up and tore down and carried it back in, and we did that for almost 9 years. 9 years. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be 59 in July. I got up this morning, and I was getting ready, and I had this little fleeting thought in my mind, Lord, thank you that we're not mobile anymore. Now, I could carry some of the load, but I couldn't carry the load that I used to carry 21 years ago. So I'm going, man, I don't know. I could help out a little bit this morning setting up, but not like I used to help out. How come? The outer man is breaking down. And if you're not, there's a lot of people making a good living off some of y'all because you think you can revert back to when you were 20. All right? Pardon my grammar. I've had advanced studies in my life. Pardon my grammar. Ain't going to happen. All right? What Scripture say about me and you? We are breaking down. The Cathedral, Southern Gospel Quartet, right? It had a song about this old house, right? And this old house needs a lot of work done to it. A lot of work done to it. Even this morning, I had a full day yesterday and lots of places I needed to be and had to be, and two of the places I couldn't make that really wanted me to be there, I just couldn't make them. And I got up this morning, and I just didn't want to get up this morning. Alarm went off early, and I was like, man, I don't want to get up. And I just felt the Holy Spirit remind me, you're the preacher. You know, you need to get up. I was tired. You know, is there anything wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with me. Why? What's going on? Just the outer man is breaking down a little bit. I tell people, I can go where you go. I can walk where you walk. You're just going to get there a whole lot faster than I am. I'll get there. But I'm just going to be in a delayed mode. I'll get there. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is talking specifically about what he encountered physically from projecting the name of Christ. And let me explain this about Paul for a moment. Paul's greatest passion was not just preaching the gospel. Paul's greatest passion was preaching the gospel where they had never heard the name of Jesus. They didn't know who you were talking about. So his greatest passion was not just preaching. His greatest passion was to go where they had never encountered this name and then preach. Well, what happened to him? He was beaten up several times. He was whipped, shipwrecked, snake beaten, imprisoned. Do you remember in the book of Acts where in one city, there's a lady that's owned, she's property, and she has a demonic spirit of divination in her, being able to you know, read your lifeline, read the tarot cards. That would be a modern-day version of that. And the people's future is determined by this lady. And she's following Paul around, and Paul gets a little bit aggravated with her, turns around, casts the demon out of her, right? Y'all with me? Y'all looking at me a little weird. That's in the book of Acts. Okay, well, don't act like I'm reading you something from somewhere else. Y'all looking at me like, is that true? Yeah, it's true. So he cast the demon out of her, and the men who owned her got mad at him, right? And then what happened? They beat him up. They mobbed him. A lot of times he went in. He went into a city knowing there's a good chance he's going to lose a tooth. You understand? But he loved to preach in that atmosphere. And he's saying that the outer man can break down. And he's talking about his own physical ailments that come from carrying out the Great Commission. There's the physical stress that's on our bodies today. And we have them too. We have those physical ailments as well. And just understand, we're all tearing down. We are all tearing down. What's happening? The outer man. Now you're going, hey, preacher, I thought you were going to encourage me today. I am going to encourage you today. Just hang on. Let's get to that truth. It says, but here's the neat part. It says, where the outer person is being destroyed. Scripture's a little harder on you than I am today. It says, but our inner person is being renewed day by day. Something miraculous is going on. I mean right now, something miraculous is going on. Oh, Jeffro on the outside tearing up. Something's going on the inside. The inner man here is a complete comparison to the heart of man. It's also compared to the will of man, the emotion of man, the affection of man, the thought of man, all that being combined in the inner man. And here's what's going on. Though I'm getting older, and just because of this world and everything else and the stress put on the body, I'm tearing down on the outside. But hang on a moment. Here's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus. On the inside, it's NASCAR. You know what I'm saying? On the inside, I'm running 200 miles an hour. Something miraculous is going on. What's going on? Well, I'm tearing down on the outside, but man, there's a supernatural happening going on the inside, and the Lord is affecting my life. He's bringing renewal and regeneration to my life. Outside's tearing down. What's happening to the inside? He is renewing the inner man in me. Let's look and see how he does that. Ephesians 3:16, great verse. We're going to learn this prayer here in a moment. Paul says, I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his spirit. Though I'm tearing down on the outside and so are you, what's happening on the inside? It's a miracle. For example, I left corporate America to come into ministry, and I left what I thought was a great life for me, and God had another plan for my life. I resisted it. A lot of you all know that story. For a number of years, I ran from him, and I just didn't want to surrender to that. He brought me to a point of surrender. I did. Did I love Jesus when I was that young man? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did I surrender and live my life for Jesus? Yeah, but not like I do at 58. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Did I have a passion for Jesus then? Absolutely, but not like I do now. Listen, only he can do that. What's going on? Outside's breaking down. The world seems chaotic, crazy. You're going, man, has the world ever been crazier? The answer is yes. If you read scripture and history, the world has been in crazier spots than this. So don't go thinking there's a new kind of crazy. Man, we're not in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not in the days of Noah. Those are some crazy times. Crazy times. The Holocaust, crazy times. I mean, it's jacked up out there, but our world's been in crazier shape than it is right now. And I'm tearing down on the outside. The world's going crazy, right? And if you all will just elect me to office, I'll straighten every bit of it up. I know you have. That's the way we feel though, right? So what do I do? What do I do with everything that's going on, my own personal life, around the world, in our nation? What do I do? I've got to realize I'm tearing down on the outside. The world's going crazy, but something miraculous is going on the inside. And what's he doing? He's creating in me a passion I didn't have a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 20 years ago, 21 years ago. Only he can do that. So you go, where do I get this? I get this from the Lord. And here's a great prayer of Paul in Ephesians. You may want to write this down. It's Ephesians 3, 14, 19. You may just want to put a note in your phone to look it up later. Do whatever you want to do with it. I really feel as your pastor, it would be good for you to have and to look at. And here is the prayer of Paul. He said, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Let's just stop there for a moment. What a line in the prayer. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Can I just help you out here? I'm a educated country boy, but I'm still a country boy. There's not an unknown area of God. Do you understand that? You're not going to go anywhere in God and go, well, man, this area of God is depleted. It's unknown. He knows. All things flow from him. Whom every family in heaven on earth is named. Look at the prayer. "I pray that he grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his spirit." We've seen that verse already. "And that the Christ, the Messiah, may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the height, and the depth of God's love. And to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He's growing you. As you grow older, the length and the width and the height and the depths of God's love is going to get bigger. It's not that I didn't have a passion for Christ years ago. I did. But that passion for Christ has been heightened. Many of you all know since Tom's death, you're going, there's a new fire in our preacher. That's true. That's true. Since my son-in-law passed away, it's true. I mean, was I passionate when Tom was living? Absolutely. Am I more passionate now after his death? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it becomes a day-to-day issue, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. Here's what happens. I told you the inner man is comparable to the word heart, will, emotion, affection, thought, all those kind of things. I did a wedding last night, Miles' cousin, and I didn't stay long. I didn't get to talk to y'all, but hi. Okay, good to see y'all last night. It was an outside wedding, beautiful place. And Spencer and his mom and dad and brother go to another church, and I'm close friends with their pastor. But I've watched Spencer grow up, and his dad and I shoot bow together, and I've eaten at their house numerous times, never tried to get them to join our church. You all know how I pastor. I'm more of a regional pastor than I am a specific church turf pastor. I told him in the wedding, I said, "I've eaten some really good stuff at your house, and I've eaten some really weird stuff at your house." We've eaten fried python at their house. Yeah, I know. I understand. You might as well just go get you a PVC pipe, shave that thing up, and fry it and try to eat that thing. But anyway, we did it. So I said, we've eaten some great stuff at your house. I've eaten some weird stuff at your house. Turkey hunted, taught him to duck hunt, worked with him in dog training. So when it came time for him to be married, he said, "I want you to do it." And I said, "Okay, I'll do it." Just good friends, family friends. When I started the intro prayer, I couldn't pray it. I just started crying. Now, that's not new to you all, right? I don't pray a lot in front of people because I can't pray without crying now. Why is that going on? Is there something wrong with me? No, there's nothing wrong with me. There's something right about me. And my point is, right in our prayer, I could just see the last 25 years of watching and being with this family, seeing Miles and Ashley out in the audience and see them married and have a family. And that stuff gets to you after a while, in a good way. But I mean, I couldn't even, why? Because the inner man in me pays more attention to the affection. My thought is more on what God has put together. Are you all with me? Don't just say it as a preacher. I'm not just doing it as a preacher. But in that moment of praying for Spencer and Emmy, I'm seeing what God has done over these last few years, the conversations we've had, the prayers we've had. In other words, the inner man in me is more in tune to God than I ever have been in my life. Have I been in tune with God in the past years? Sure, so have you, but not like I am now. What's going on? Old Jeff's breaking down. I mean, I've got parts that my mama didn't give me. You know what I'm saying? You ever been in an MRI and you've got so much metal in your body that the magnet pulls you off to the side? You know? So I'm breaking down on the outside, but let me tell you what's going on in the inside. God is growing a man and still growing a man. And there are things that are more important to me now than have ever been. Not that they weren't important, but they're heightened now. Why? Because he's renewing the inner man in all of us. I'm breaking down on the outside. Don't forget, it's NASCAR on the inside. It's going on. What's taking place? I think this is the beauty of the gospel, is that even though we're in trying times and our world can seemingly be going crazy, simultaneously, he is renewing and strengthening you. Please remember, don't get mad at me when I say this, he's the one who does it. This is God-driven. A self-help book is not going to do it. Am I against self-help books? No. But I am against to you running them toward them as much as you do. This is a God-driven renewal and a God-driven regeneration. It's happening by him, not from just a self-help infomercial that we may have in our lives. So we pray the prayer of strength. Like, for example, if I've ever prayed over you, you've heard it if you paid attention. God, empower them to get through these days. Well, that's the prayer that this is talking about. Empower them. They need your power. This is not about self-will. This is not pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. This is not that. God, give them the power to go through the season that they're either entering or that they're in. Please give them the power. Saw in the news last night. A boy in Virginia was graduating from school. Maybe y'all saw this. He had a full ride scholarship to UK with ROTC. Also was a golfer. Within 24 hours of his graduation, he was killed on an interstate. Tractor-trailer stopped, slowed down. He didn't. Seemed to be no braking. He wasn't under any of the influence, anything like that. It was just stop, and he was close, couldn't brake, and he had killed him. Less than 24 hours later, his high school class graduated. Instantly, in my mind, I'm going, we need to understand things a little more. Life is fragile. You're walking around like you're Superman and Superwoman. Life is fragile. Life can change in less than a minute. So we need to understand that. Scripture says it. Life is a mist. Life is a shadow. Life is a breath. Life is a vapor. But you and I get to thinking we're 9 foot tall and bulletproof, especially when you're drinking, especially when Baptists are drinking. You see what I'm saying? So life's fragile. Let me remind you, you're only passing through. Please understand, you're only passing through. Don't build empires to yourself. I've got a mission. What's that mission? I want to make Jesus known. I don't want to shine light on me. I want to shine his light on darkness. If I do recognize myself, what did Scripture say? We recognize ourselves as slaves and servants of Christ. We don't raise ourselves up above other people. We lower ourselves. It's foot washing. is helping. Not literally, but just as an example, you understand. So we've got this going on. So what do I pray for this family? What do I pray for this family? God, if they're going to make it through this, you're going to have to empower them. You're going to have to renew their inner strength. A self-help book or an infomercial is not going to do that. It's God-driven. So what are my prayers for the family of this young man? God, empower them. Raise up their inner man. Renew them. Strengthen them during this time becomes our prayer. And that, as a pastor shepherd, that becomes my prayer for a lot of you all. I know a lot of the seasons you're all. Y'all know the seasons of life that Julie and I are in. I've just already mentioned it. And what do we need? God, I've got to have your power. I mean, I can't get this. I can't get this from a podcast. I can't get this from a Twitter quote. The only way I can get it is God-driven. God gives it to me through the Holy Spirit. I'm breaking down on the outside. I'm carrying a burden of grief. And it goes on and on. But hey, there's something miraculous going on. What's he doing? He's raising my passion for him up like never before. And I'm letting that happen. Miraculously, that's happening even as I speak inside of you. He's being able to do that. How often does this happen? He says in verse 16, if you go back to verse 16, he says it happens day by day. And you and I need to take it day by day. Why? Because we don't have any other promise than right now. So how do I do that? Give me the strength, Lord. Empower me to go day by day. And please remember that all this is done because it is God-driven. So we're looking at ourselves. Verse 17, look at eternity. In eternity, I want you to make some comparisons here within this verse. First of all, we are going to put the word light and compare it to the word weight. So it's going to be light versus weight. And then we are going to put momentary versus eternal. And then we're going to put affliction versus glory. Do you have that? Light versus weight, momentary versus eternal, affliction versus glory. We're going to have those comparisons here. I don't want to say things here to make you think you're not going through a tough time in your life. I know in an earthly definition, we have heavy stuff that's happening to all of us. All of us. Not just some of us, all of us. There are suffering and heavy things that happen in our life. And I don't want you to think I don't recognize it in an earthly definition that it's a heavy thing to bear. But what Paul says, no matter how heavy it is here, compared to what God has in store for you, is light. And you need to know that Paul is suggesting that a walk with Christ is always making those comparisons. I've been preaching here for 25 years. I not only know you, I know you know you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know what a lot of you have walked through and are walking through personally. And you do me. It's just life. And I don't want to say that what you're going through is not, under earthly definition, a heavy thing. But compared to what, this is the beauty of the gospel. Compared to what he has in store for us, it's a light thing. And not only light, he says it's momentary. It's just for a fleeting amount of time. And he said it's just considered an affliction compared to the glory that all of us are going to have. We share in his sufferings, we also will share in his glory. Though it looks heavy, it is minor compared to what's going to happen for all of us who are believing. And not only do I want to remind you that we're passing through, please hear me out. Heaven is not this weird place. This is the third time I've told you this, 3 Sundays in a row. Don't go thinking heaven is this weird place. All right? It's not. Heaven's going to be more home to you than any home you've ever lived in, any room you've ever had. I mean, you just got to understand that. What he tells us about heaven, oh my goodness. Now, the older I get, and the more I break down on the outside, and the more he's NASCARing me on the inside, makes me want to long for heaven more than I ever have. Why? No more tears, no more crying, no more sickness. I remember one time at a funeral, I said, there'll be no doctors in heaven. And I had to recant that. There'll be doctors in heaven, but we won't need their expertise, right? I was just a young preacher when I said that. So, do you understand? No more sickness, no more night. You won't need a night light in heaven. You know, there's just no more darkness. He goes on and on of the list of all the no mores that heaven is going to be. Understand what you're going through. Paul really does want you to do it. Now, if you understand the outer you is being destroyed and breaking down and the inner you is being revved up, and we saw the Ephesians 3 prayer, the more you're understanding the height and the width and the depth and the length of Christ, the more that comparison to you is going to be normal. I mean, your thoughts are going to start being eternal. As the passion of who Christ is awakened in your life and renewed daily, your thoughts and your affections and everything is going to be moved toward an eternal view of what's going to be going on. So we look at ourselves, now we look at eternity, and even though it's heavy from an earthly definition compared to what he's going to do with us and give us, it just becomes a minor issue compared to the glory that we're going to have. Lastly, we look in verse 18, we look at the unseen. For we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Before I go any further with this, I want to reckon some things with you. When I talk about unseen here, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit giving you revelations of things. I am not talking about where the Lord has manifested himself to you. It doesn't matter to me where you are doctrinally. I've had experiences with the Lord that I know it was he himself standing before me. I know that. You can't take that away. You can't move that. I know my Savior. I know what he did. I know how he manifested himself to me. When I talk about unseen, I'm not talking about an encounter with angelic beings. I'm not talking about encounters that you've had with demonic activity. That's not the unseen that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about visible versus invisible. That's not what I'm talking about here. When Paul is talking about this, we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here's what he's referring to. He's talking about the now versus the not yet. I don't have to tell you what your now is. You know your now. But I'm a preacher that he's called to remind you about the not yet. The not yet. Let me help you with that. Hebrews 11:1. It's a great faith verse, definition verse of faith. Let me walk you through it. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. You know what the now is, but faith helps you see the not yet. Because of faith, I know what he has in store for me. I know that the glory that he has in store for me will make up for anything that I've had to carry, any suffering I've had to endure, even though it's heavy in an earthly definition, compared to what's going to happen with me in glory and you, it's a minor issue. Momentary light affliction compared to what's going to happen in glory. Do you all realize this? He wants you living today as the outer man is broken down and the inner man in you is being renewed day by day. There is a passion for Christ. I didn't say you didn't have it. I just said whatever passion you had is being heightened. And the more that passion is being heightened, I'm going to have some understanding about God that I didn't have 20 years ago. Did I have some understanding about God 20 years ago? Sure. But do I have more now that I'm 58? Yes. And as that is heightened, I'm going to be thinking about eternity a whole lot more than I used to. Not because I've got a son-in-law there, not because I've got a mom and dad there, not because my best friend playing baseball with growing up is there, not because of any of that, but because of the promises of God. So as the inner man in me is being renewed, God-driven day by day, I'm thinking more about eternity today than I did yesterday. Why? Because it's one of his promises. I think about it. So you're living in the now, but as you mature in Christ, you're going to be thinking a whole lot about the not yet. And hallelujah that we have the not yet to think about. I mean, that's his promise. And by faith, I don't need faith to see the now, do I? Absolutely not at all. But I need faith to see the not yet. And I'm telling you, I thank God for the not yet. And as you mature in Christ, a lot of your thinking is going to be more about the not yet than the now. You're going, hey, preacher, you're doing that because you're getting older. No, I'm doing that because he's renewing the inner man. I can't do that. Getting a haircut, losing weight is not going to, is not, I do have a haircut, by the way. I just wanted John to notice that. But that's not going to renew me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Y'all know I hate socks, right? I can't stand socks. Thank God I won't have them on in the casket, you know? But that doesn't renew me. It doesn't renew me. Having a well-trained duck dog doesn't renew me. Only he can renew me. Please know this. As you're wasting away on the outside, he is revving you up on the inside, pun intended. And your inner man is being renewed day by day by day by day. And when that happens, I'm going to think more about the eternal than I do the temporary. I'm going to think more about the glory than I do the affliction. I'm going to think more about the weight of it all than I do the temporary part of it. I'm going to be looking at the not yet, not just the now. And I've got to remind you, God's called me to remind you, you know what your now is. Please, through faith, look at the not yet. Because he's given us the not yet. So hang in there. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Speak the name of Jesus freely. And bring light to darkness. The world will never give you a plaque or recognize you for that. It's going to hate you for it, persecute you for it. But you hang on. Though you're tired on the outside and the old gray mule ain't what he used to be, what he's revving up in the inside has got passion and power. And you let your light shine for that. You hear me? Don't you let the world or anybody shut you up about who Christ is. When the world tells you to be quiet, what have I always taught you? You get louder. You hear me? You get louder because the world needs to know our Savior. He's a beautiful Savior, isn't he? Yes. Satan will sacrifice you. Jesus sacrificed himself. Please understand that. Satan will destroy you. Satan will never do anything to himself but pride and lift himself up. You're Jesus. He sacrificed himself and he laid down his life for you. He's a beautiful Savior. What a beautiful, it's the sweetest name I've ever known is the name of Jesus. And as me and you are getting older and grayer, somebody said, preacher, why are you getting so gray? I look at him and go, I've had to pastor you for 25 years. That's what I've told him. But as I'm breaking down on the outside, guess what's going on the inside? He's raising up an inner man that's more passionate about Jesus than he ever has been in his life. And you let that person live. Will you do that? Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. Bless them. You're a magnificent, glorious, beautiful Savior. Your gospel has beauty all its own. We thank you that in the now, our burdens can be incredibly great and heavy here on earth, but compared to what you're going to do with us and give to us, they're only light, momentary, and they're only afflictions. Only you can help us see them that way. Lord, we live in the now, but we thank you for the not yet. And we pray that our eyes are focused on you. And then as they're focused on you, we can clearly see through faith in you the not yet that you have in store for us. And may that propel us to be able to bring light to darkness. Father, let the light that you have given to us in these people, may it shine for you boldly. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is for you to come and surrender your life to Christ. You may have never done that. We offer that to you. You come. There'll be people here to greet you, minister to you, with you, and for you. We offer communion, even if you're not a part of our church. Feel free. As believers, we offer communion. The bread represents his body given, the drink, his blood shed. Take the bread. It's called intinction. Take the bread, dip it into the drink before you consume it. Remember his sacrifice and give thanks to our beautiful Savior for who he is. And as you're doing that, will you thank him that there's a miracle going on within you? I'm wasting away on the outside, but on the inside, he's raising us up. A resurrected Christ is resurrecting us, isn't he? And he's doing that, and he does it well. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, find your spot. Logan's going to lead us. You respond.